There's plenty of concerns being raised about a lack of paramedics in rural BC. Now, one solution might be medical training for firefighters. It's a model used in Kitimat, and BC's firefighters want to see that program expanded to more of rural BC. Mike Hurley is president of the BC Firefighters Association, and he's with me this morning on the line from Burnaby. Mike, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about how it works in Kitimat. So what kind of extra training or paramedic training do firefighters have?
Well, in Kitimat, they are under contract to the BC Ambulance Service or the government to provide paramedics in that community that are on the back of fire trucks, and they also run two ambulances out of that city.
So in addition to the fire equipment and fire trucks that come out of that fire hall, it's also going to handle the paramedics as well?
That's correct.
So what have you seen in terms of improving medical response times by using this system?
Well, I think, you know, I should be quick in pointing out that, you know, we're by no means suggesting that firefighters should replace paramedics in every community. That's not the real problem with the whole system is a huge shortage of paramedics. What we're saying is that there's firefighters in most communities in BC take off the handcuffs that are on fire departments and let these people train to higher levels and practice to higher levels to fill the gaps, the huge gaps that are within the system right now.
What prompted the firefighters to get a program like this in place?
Well, I think just in the rural communities, it's difficult to maintain consistency within a system, consistency of training, consistency of, you know, qualified people to do the job. And if you have firefighters who live in the community and who are going to stay in that community, why not use them to fill the huge gaps in the system and allow them to train and allow them to practice to the higher levels of training.
I want to ask about that higher level then. So how much additional training do firefighters require and receive to be able to perform paramedic services when they arrive at a medical emergency?
Well, if you look at the Kitimat model, their members there are all trained to primary care paramedic levels. That's a nine-month course as compared to what firefighters are allowed to do now, which is about a four-week course for training to those levels.
And ideally, if a firefighter slash paramedic firefighter shows up, it's essentially a situation where they're there to stabilize a situation until additional medical help can arrive or does arrive?
Correct. So the first responder program was designed in you know, with the thought that the paramedics would arrive within 5 to 10 minutes after the fire department arrived. What we're seeing now is with the changes in the system and the shortage of paramedics, that it's, you know, we're seeing an hour to 2 hour delays in an ambulance getting to a call. So we're saying is if this is going to be the case and this is going to continue, allow the firefighters to train to the higher level and protect the patient until the higher trained paramedics can arrive.
I'm speaking with Mike Hurley, president of the BC Firefighters Association, about firefighters doubling as paramedics in some rural communities here on Daybreak. And Mike, let me ask you, the firefighters that are professional and receive this training are one thing, but what would be the situation or how would it help communities that largely rely on volunteer firefighters?
Well, I think some agreement has to be reached with those communities as well. You know, certainly the firefighters can train to the level, you know, where they can perform CPR and have automatic defibrillators on their trucks. As you've seen in the community on the weekend up there where an ambulance wasn't able to get there, you know, a defibrillator may have saved that person's life. Now, that is not... it's not a really high level of training that needs to take place. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of these defibrillators are in communities all over North America, where they can be used by the public. So those communities definitely need that level of, you know, training for their volunteer firefighters And, you know, that's just an important piece of what needs to happen in really rural communities. Also, there needs to be a great effort put into those communities, and should be in all communities, actually, in training citizens on doing CPR. I mean, I think that's critical. It needs to be happen right away, and it needs to be ongoing in those communities. Whether you do it at the high school level or how it's done, but that's an important piece, I think.
Well, Mike, you use the phrase, take the handcuffs off firefighters, and I'm wondering, what's preventing firefighters from getting the additional training at this point?
Well, it's red tape is what it is. We're just not allowed to practice to the level. As a matter of fact, in some cases, a firefighter can be on an ambulance on a Monday and practice to that level. And as soon as they put a firefighter's uniform on, that same person is not allowed to practice to that level.
And who's preventing that?
That is the governing body of the oversight for BC Ambulance.
So it's BC Ambulance that you think need to bring firefighters more into this discussion, not only at the professional but also on the volunteer firefighter level.
Absolutely, it's critical, and it's very important for the citizens of all around BC that this is allowed to happen.
So, what sort of things can be done by your organization to either lobby or educate the Ambulance Society to bring you more into the program?
Well, we've been on this bandwagon for 20 years. BC Ambulance, the BC EHS, chooses to operate like the fire departments don't exist around the province. And they'll talk about partnerships and all the rest. But the reality is they just operate like we don't exist, which is crazy. You have 4,000 professional firefighters in the province, plus you have the volunteer groups that if they were brought in and made part of the system, could really assist the system and assist, more importantly, assist the people of BC.
Well, I suppose one other quick thing I want to ask about this, Mike, is what happens when a medical emergency is sought after? What happens with priority? I mean, who decides who's going to respond? Is it the paramedic firefighter? Is it going to be the paramedic? How does those kinds of logistics can get kind of confusing depending on what community you're dealing with?
Well, exactly. This is done by the same oversight board who decide on what call is given to the dispatchers. They have decided there's 800 different codes for how they send fire trucks or send ambulances, whether it's a priority or not a priority. Again, our position on that is that when any family calls 911, they believe they have an emergency and they should get a response. They should not be told your emergency doesn't seem that important. So, and that appears to be what's happening.
But it's ironing out those details, is that part of getting past the ambulance service and getting firefighters into the discussion on a more proactive basis?
Absolutely. There needs to be a discussion around protecting the citizens instead of protecting the system. And from what I've seen over my 20 years involved in this is that BC EHS seemed more in tune with protecting their system than really it should be about the patient.
Mike Hurley, thanks for joining us this morning, and appreciate you taking the time on this.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you giving me the time.
Mike Hurley, president of the BC Firefighters Association. He's joining us this morning by phone in Burnaby.